are listening to WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. A warm hello to you today from the warm heart of a down-home gal, somewhere in the warm heart of America. This is Prepare for Freedom, show number 23, coming to you live each Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Central Time on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. You can find us online at www.prepareforfreedom.com and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/prepareforfreedom. My name is Sharon, and I'm your host for today's show. Let me now introduce you to my co-host and official Two Cents producer, Billy Bob.
Well, hello, everybody. How y'all doing today? The weather's very cloudy today, but it's a nice day. Sharon, I got something for you. I'm going to pull a little surprise on you today. Today is a special day for a lot of reasons because it's something we're going to be talking about today.
All right.
This person, it's a birthday today, but this person also signed the Constitution and Declaration of Independence for giving us our freedom today.
Well, it's Washington's birthday.
Yes, it was. But see, we're talking about common sense freedom.
Now, yes, there are some people that definitely had some common sense. If they hadn't, we wouldn't be here today.
That is correct.
And in fact, you know, there was a book written by that name, Common Sense, that Thomas Paine wrote. And it was, you might call, kind of an inflammatory book as far as the British were concerned. But it sure made sense and helped some Americans kind of get off their oompdahs and start thinking seriously about getting their freedom.
That's right. So I think today kind of a little bit appropriate for today's show.
Let's hope we can make George Washington proud.
Okay.
Good enough.
All right. I'm ready.
All right. So on to the topic of the day, which is?
Common sense, prepare for freedom.
Yeah. Common sense, preparedness, prepare for freedom. Wow. You know, that idea of freedom itself suggests a well-prepared people. You know why?
Why?
Because ill-prepared people are ill-prepared to do anything but complain as they watch their freedoms disappear.
That is very true. That is very true.
And you've heard about this TV show, Doomsday Preppers?
Yes, but I don't know nothing too much about it. Would you like to explain that to our audience?
Well, I have not watched a full episode myself. I've watched tidbits, but what I have seen and what I have heard so far suggests that the people that are being highlighted on these shows are people that the show is portraying as being a little extreme or weird. I haven't yet seen what I would call a normal prepper on there, and I know there's a lot of them out there because the word prepper itself just means one who prepares, but it seems that these shows like to focus on those who have their bunkers and their guns and their five-year supply of MREs and, you know, this kind of thing, the ones that are expecting doomsday to happen.
Yeah, but that don't mean, that's what everybody looked at, the doomsday. But we got natural disasters that can happen that you should still be prepared with common sense.
Right. Well, I see it this way, Billy Bob. If doomsday happens, we're out of here anyway. No need to prepare. We need to just make sure we're right with our maker. Better make sure we're there, good there. But after that, it's like, hey, we'll see you on the other side, folks. We're out of here. No need to have any kind of special preparations for that. Just get yourself in tune with your maker and be ready to talk to him on the other side. I'm sure he's going to have some questions for you.
Yeah. He'll have a lot of questions for us.
Yeah, and probably one of those questions will not be the size of your food storage.
Nope. It won't have nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
But he did give us a common sentence. He's, as long as we're still here on this earth, to use it to be prepared for food storage or water storage, supplies, things like that for natural disaster.
Yeah, and this isn't just some weird new idea. It seems like it goes way back somewhere in the Bible. You remember the story about Joseph in Egypt?
Yeah.
And Pharaoh had a dream.
Yes, and Joseph interpreted the dream that there would be 7 years of plenty of food and water, and all, and then there would be 7 years of famine. So he told them to build up their food supply for the famine for the 7 years.
Right. Take from the surplus from the years of surplus. Put it into barns or storage places. Store it up. Be wise. Use what you have wisely. Don't just figure because we have lots that we'll always have lots. And build up a food supply. Can you imagine taking this to our day? Let's suppose that somebody came to the President of the United States and said, we're going to have 7 years of famine. These 7 years of surplus, we hope you enjoyed them because you're about to have 7 years of famine. What do you think the response would be today?
Well, I think there'd be a lot of people probably panicking right now. Probably would start going, pulling their hair out of their heads and going berserk because they said, why didn't I prepare? I knew it was coming. Why didn't I do anything about it? Why? Why?
Well, why? Because the government's supposed to help you.
Yeah.
We're from the government and we're here to help, right?
Right.
You know, I don't want to start bashing government because government does definitely have a very important place. And if we were to get in a conversation with George Washington today, I'm sure he would be happy to fill us in on what the proper place of government is. But we won't go any further down that road other than just to say that George Washington was definitely a very prepared, common sense man, and we are grateful for that. And moving on then, about this 7 years of surplus and 7 years of famine, that was in the Bible. And because the Pharaoh was wise and he appointed a very wise man in Joseph to store up that grain, the Egyptians were able to get through that 7 years of famine. And not only that, they were able to feed a whole lot of other people who either didn't see the signs or didn't want to think about it. And they came into Egypt, we don't have any food, Do you know Pharaoh got a tremendous amount of power and control over people during those 7 years? When you got the food, you got the power.
Yes, he did. But according to the way the Bible was stated, that Joseph kept the Pharaoh actually at bay.
Yeah, he was second in command.
So, yeah, he was just right under the Pharaoh. So the Pharaoh really trusted Joseph to do what he said he was going to do with the food and not hoard it or give too much to everybody. He treated everybody fair. If you were Jewish, Egyptian, if you came from another country, you're Arab or whatever, he still sold the food fairly to everybody that needed the food. So I think the Pharaoh was a pretty good Pharaoh at that time, and with Joseph help. So Joseph had a lot of common sense of how to do things too.
And the Pharaoh had enough common sense to listen to him. Good thing.
Yeah, I would say that was a very good thing.
So where are we at today with common sense? You and I both, Billy Bob, in our own ways and in our own individual lives have had plenty of opportunities to learn some common sense about what's a good thing to do with our resources and what's not. We, like many Americans out there, each of us in our own lives has had the opportunity to experience, you might say, some financial famine.
That's very true, especially with the bank, they're eating your money.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a food famine. It can be a money famine, and I would guess that there are probably some other people out there who are experiencing similar famine. It could be financial. It could be food. We did a series of shows on the food situation and how there are, unfortunately, way too many families in America, the great land of opportunity and prosperity, that do not even have what you call food sufficiency, that they are, or food security, food security. And the food stamp program has grown hugely. The numbers of hungry children is increasing, people living under bridges. I just saw a TV thing not very long ago, Billy Bob, actually. This was very sobering. It was on the internet. It was on internet TV. It was about people in Las Vegas, you know, glittery, glitzy Las Vegas. And it was a TV special that was done by the BBC in England. And they sent people out looking at the plight of Americans that were kind of being brushed under the rug behind the scenes. And one place they went was to Las Vegas. And up above, on the pavement, you got the lights, you got the glitter, you got the casinos, you got the high rollers, you got the action, all that good stuff. Everything seems to be, well, kind of like it typically is in a gambling city. But then all they did was go underground, right below the streets where the storm drains run. Now, Las Vegas is one of those cities out in the West where it rains very seldom. But when it does rain, that water has to have somewhere to go because it comes tearing out of the mountains. And if it doesn't have a storm drain system to go through, it will flood your city. So cities like Las Vegas are built on top of big underground, like square tunnels or storm drains. And so the water then can run through there and on out down into the river or wherever it goes. Now, you've got people, Billy Bob, that are living in these storm drains. And so they're fine. They're high and dry as long as it doesn't rain somewhere. When it does, they need to be alert, and they better be ready to move because that water's going to go through there and take them away and all their stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I hate to say that's a bad way for people to live, but at the same time, with what we're talking about, they learn how to use their common sense of survival down there too. So when it does that water flood and they know it coming, they know what to do.
Yeah.
So if they can do it down there, why can't the people up in the glitter lights and everything learn how to do it too?
Well, they haven't yet. Unlike the people below the city who learned the hard way, a lot of them came out of lost jobs, foreclosed homes, whatever. It hasn't yet necessarily hit the people above the ground, but we are seeing a continued deterioration of the American living standard and dream for a lot of reasons. We are not going to get into all the reasons on that today. We just know these things are happening. We don't have to have doomsday, because if something like that happens to you or me or somebody on individual level, it may as well be doomsday. You lose your job, you lose any means of income due to illness or to being laid off or whatever. All of a sudden, it's the end of your world as you know it, and it's time to take some action, and hopefully you've made some preparations so it won't be so difficult to make the transition to a lower level of income.
Yeah, that's very true. But I noticed something in the last couple years here, that there are more people now, especially out west, even where we're at, are starting to get together, they're working together, and they're getting a piece of land, and they're getting some animals, working like a little community of everybody pitching in, elderly people, young people and all, growing big gardens and everything, so everybody gets a share of the food that they grow. So they're helping everybody out, and they've got cows and hogs or whatever they can grow to, you know, raise as edible, chickens and eggs. So everybody pitching in, so they got a little community now of how to survive if something happens. They know what to do. So there's your common sense of working out right there.
Yeah, you're mentioning two things here. You're mentioning common sense, and you're also mentioning something called work. And when it comes to anything worthwhile, that word work can get in the way really quick. And so what we're going to do is just invite you to go with us on a little journey we'll be going on for the next few weeks. This is like the introductory show. We're going to do several shows on the concept of common sense preparedness, because there's so much to cover, and we promise not to get into doom and gloom. We're not going to tell you need to buy 500 rounds of ammo and a 2-year supply of food and go dig a bunker in your backyard. Now, this is not where we're going with this. We're going to talk about common sense things that people, individuals, families and communities can do to become a better prepared and freer people. This is about freedom for us. It's not about doom and gloom. It's not about doomsday. It's about freedom. A prepared people is a people that can protect and maintain and increase their freedom. And unprepared people, they're at the mercy of whoever owns the resources, owns whatever they don't have, and they will control them. They are not free. They may think they are, but they're not. Do you know what the term wage slave means, Billy Bob?
No, I do not. Would you like to explain that?
Wage slave. You're working for a wage. You're working for someone, some company, and you live from paycheck to paycheck. Your life is about working for that paycheck.
Yeah. I got you now. It's just you working so hard, they don't want to pay you nothing, so you got to work a lot of overtime. They got you like a slave. They want you there. They're getting richer, but you ain't getting no better.
Right. They enrich themselves, the companies, whoever does this, at your expense. And not to get into a big bad company bashing thing here either, let's keep in mind this is a two-way agreement. We agree to become wage slaves, especially when we decide we wish to live beyond our means and expect our jobs to pick up the slack so that we can pay for these things. So there is that kind of slavery. There are many others we could cover. We've talked about these in prior shows, and we certainly invite you, if this is your first time listening, to take a look through our archive of shows. You can find that archive on the WQ4D radio site. I'll give that to you. It's WQ4DRadio.com. And just look on the right-hand side where it says Radio Show Archives, and you'll see one for Prepare for Freedom. Go in there, have a look, download, listen to some shows, and then you'll see better where we're coming from. And hopefully find something in there to listen to that will make a positive difference in your life. We're here to help you out in a good way. We're not here to scare you.
No, we're not here to scare you, but we just want you to wake up and understand that, you know, things happen, and you look at the United States of certain areas of the country with, like, northern part, wintertime, blizzards, snowstorm. A lot of them people that got common sense, they prepare for that all summer long. They store water, candles, blankets, flashlights, everything they can possibly do for the storm, because they might get without no power for a while. They might be snowed in. They might not be able to move. So they're prepared for a natural disaster. Then you got Oklahoma, Texas, with all the tornadoes. Them people got shelters, most of them. So they put food and water, candles and light, flashlight. So the people, that, using their common knowledge of the time of the year, they prepare all year long for that coming.
Right, and when we didn't have our noses and our eyes and our ears in our technology, our computers, our cell phones, our iPads, you name it, all that stuff, when we weren't so busy texting, we were more aware of how the seasons went, and this was a more natural thing to do, to think, oh, golly, you know, I just heard there was a storm coming. Let me make sure that we've got some things on hand. People nowadays, not everybody, of course, there's a lot of good people with a lot of common sense. I just want to emphasize that. You are wonderful people. A shout out, hooray to all of you. Talk to your neighbors. Get them to start do some of the things you're doing. But the ones who say there's a hurricane coming, there's a tornado coming or whatever, and they go, okay. And they got things to do. They're texting their friends. They're wandering around, talking on their cell phones, et cetera, and next thing you know, there's this nasty old storm in the area, and, oh, I got to out the storm, buy something. Well, it's starting to rain. The wind's starting to howl. And they get in the store, and either it's packed with other people like them that are running at the last minute, or they can't even get there because the weather's so bad, the store is closed, the power's out. Oh, no, woe is me. What are we going to do?
They just don't understand it.
They don't get it. And then you hear the whining and complaining about how late and negligent the government was in helping them out and all this stuff. Now, here again, not trying to make fun, but chances are good, if you're listening to this show, that you probably know someone who's been through this experience. In fact, just to put things in perspective, in terms of an emergency of some kind, one out of four people in a given year are going to have some kind of personal, financial, family emergency that is going to test their level of preparedness. One out of four. Do you like those odds? Have you gone 3 years without a problem? Do you want to try one more and say, I don't have to prepare. This is all for these political extremists and idiots on the TV. You want to give it another year and see if nothing happens? Or maybe it's time to pull the common sense card out of your deck and start playing it.
Well, I sure wouldn't want to be one of the persons like that. I don't want to take no chances like that. But now since we brought that up, now look at what happened, that a lot of people knew about it, Katrina, coming to the coast. They knew it within 3 to 4 weeks prior that it was going to hit the coast.
But something was going to anyway. The
right,
hurricane wasn't necessarily all formed, but all the signs were there.
That a big storm was coming. They figured it could have been a hurricane or a tropical depression or storm. Look how many people weren't prepared.
Well, it wasn't going to hit there. They were in denial. Oh, it ain't going to hit here. We've had hurricanes before. No big deal. If it gets big enough and bad enough and they tell us that it's big and bad, we better go, we'll go. But otherwise, we got other things to do. We're having too much fun. There's our TV programs on. There's things to do. There's, you know, just too much to do in this life, Billy Bob, to worry about preparedness, right?
That's right. But when Katrina got into the Gulf,
hello,
they should have knew right then and there they had approximately maybe 2 to 3 weeks.
No, even less than
well,
that
less
once
than
it was
that.
In the Gulf.
But I'm just saying, you know, I'm just exaggerating a little bit.
But
here,
even common sense combined with about 72 to 96 hours worth of lead time makes all the difference in the world. You can always get your, what you call it, out of town.
Yeah, and a lot of people didn't do that.
Yeah.
They just figured, well, we're going to stay here. It ain't going to hit us. Then look what happened to all them people in Louisiana, New Orleans.
It was a tragedy. And I don't want to and Mississippi. Yeah, in fact, sometimes all the emphasis goes to New Orleans. There were complete towns wiped off the map. Waveland, for example, in Mississippi, off the map, gone. And other towns so seriously damaged that many of the population had to move away, and they probably never will get their full population back. And there was warning. This wasn't like a, you know, things like tornadoes and earthquakes, for example, you hardly ever get any warning on those. It's understandable that people might say, well, you know, I mean, golly, we've never had any earthquakes here, never had any tornadoes here, all these things. But when something is staring you in the face, it's a good time to do something about it. Actually, this is what we're going to get into today. It makes a whole lot of sense, common sense, to not worry about what might hit you and just kind of practice some basic common sense principles of preparedness that will make you a freer person in the process, because we're here about freedom. So we're going to talk about one concept, and then we're going to have a break. We're just going to cover them lightly today. This is kind of like the grasshopper and the ant. If the ant were talking to the grasshopper, what are some of the things that the ants might say to the grasshopper? We're just going to talk about briefly some of these things that would make complete sense to an ant. But we sure got a lot of grasshoppers. We're going to start with a basic one. We've got a situation here that is something that our grandparents, it was habit to them. The best way to look at preparedness is a habit you get into. There's lots of bad habits we have. This is a good habit to get into. And much of common sense today, common sense preparedness, has fallen by the wayside. Huge numbers of people are totally unprepared for even the smallest emergency, but there is much that you can do to remedy this. And it starts by taking stock of just what makes your household tick. It starts right at home. Start looking around you at what things go in and out of your household every day that you need to have and don't want to do without. And we're going to start with item number one that goes in and out of the house, probably in other than air. Now, we all need air, okay? If you are living in a vacuum, you won't be on this show very much longer because you'll be dying. So we know we need air. Make sure you've got air. Now, getting into things that you can store or have on hand. One very, very most crucial item is what, Billy Bob? Very
water.
Very good. Water. A human can live much longer without food than without water, so having adequate water available is at the top of any list. And when calculating your family's water needs, include some things you might not think about. Example, water for sanitation, that is, for flushing the toilet, as well as washing oneself and cooking utensils. And then you need a supply of what's called drinkable water, potable water, water that you can actually drink to keep yourself hydrated. Now, there's lots of ways to store that. 5-gallon jugs work. 1-gallon jugs work. It's a good idea to make sure that if you're going to be storing water for any period of time, that you want to make sure that it is clean and rotate that accordingly. You can always put a drop of bleach in if it's not water you want to drink every day. Now, Billy Bob and I have a system of our own that works for us, and it's not something that's going to work for everybody. But we have a system that works for us, and that is that we have a natural spring close by, which is really nice to have. So we can get really good drinking water pretty close by here. So we have several gallon jugs, and that is more my drinking water than Billy Bob's. He still likes to drink other things. He won't get into that. But
sodas.
Yeah. Yeah. But as far as drinking water, we'll go and fill up those jugs. Take about 10, 12 down to the spring at a time. Fill it up with that wonderful spring water. Take it back. And then that's the water we used to drink with, cook with. If it's drinking water, it comes out of the bottle. So they're automatically rotated. You know, we'll go through 10, 12 gallons, and it's time to go back to the spring. So there's a natural, say, those 10 or 12 gallons of water, when they're just used for drinking, can last about 2 weeks. And the other water around here can be used for, you know, if all of a sudden the faucet got shut off and there was no more city water, there's a rain barrel outside the house here that collects about 40 gallons of rain barrel water. And then there's water in the top of the toilet tank. There's water in the water heater. There's water in quite a few places that you might not think of. But it is important to recognize that water is going to be the most critical thing that you're going to miss right off the bat, especially if you have it unexpectedly cut off for any number of reasons. It's not going to take you very long to get dehydrated, and you're going to be feeling very, very bad. Now, there's also one more consideration. This is something else we noticed during Hurricane Katrina relating to water. When you're thinking of water, don't forget your pets.
Yeah, please don't, because a lot of people forget their pets. They say they'll just walk out one of them off, but them pets want to survive too, and they are part of your family.
Right.
So take care of them too. If you have to, you know a storm coming up, bring them to a shelter or someplace where you know where they'll be safe, where somebody else can take care of them if you can't take care of them. Please take care of your pets.
And have a pet carrier on hand, a portable one. So if need be, if you have to evacuate, you can put your pet in the carrier and take them too. Anyway, we're coming up on a break now. We hope this has been some interesting information for you and that you will be just waiting expectantly and anxiously and all kinds of good stuff for what we're going to share with you after the break. So stay tuned. There's more good stuff to come, you grasshoppers out there, and you ants, too. We love you all. We'll be back in about 3 minutes.
WQ4D Radio enters 2012 with 4 diverse and entertaining shows on the Inspiring Friends Network. Never Say Impossible with your host, Myra Goldick, features guests who will inspire, motivate, and teach you innovative ways to breathe new life into your business. Old Men's Stories is hosted by master storyteller Roland Willits, whose goal is to show you that you are already a master storyteller, that your stories and your unique experience, your life's journey, are amazing and more than worth retelling. WQ4D Radio also features Prepare for Freedom, hosted by Sharon Izzy. Enjoy fun and informative weekly podcasts designed to entertain, motivate, and inspire you to take positive action towards achieving personal, emotional, economic, and spiritual freedom for yourself, your loved ones, and the country in which you live. Inspired by Bigfoot takes a look at the controversial phenomenon known as Bigfoot. Each week, guests, questions, and comments about one of the most fascinating subjects today. With your host, Bill Lee. Inspired by Bigfoot, Prepare for Freedom, Old Men Stories, and Never Say Impossible. Check them out at WQ4D Radio on the Inspiring Friends Network.
WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. And we are talking about common sense preparedness, preparing for freedom. Our reason to prepare is to protect our freedom, to keep us free, to help us be freer. We're not doom and gloomers here. We realize that can happen. But we prefer to stay upbeat, upfront, and honest with you. We're going to share some things from our own experience here going on in the second half. The next very important item to think about in terms of being prepared, and a really simple one after water, is food.
Yeah, you got to eat. You got to have something to survive with.
And what happens when the flow of money starts drying up?
Well, you're going to have to learn how to grow a garden, too, or have some kind of a way of producing some of your own food. Learn how to go back.
Well, yeah, you either learn how to grow some of your own, you learn how to trade with somebody else for some food, or you find another way to get an income so you can buy food. But one way or the other, you got to get that food, and we don't endorse stealing or anything like that. So we're talking about getting your food honestly. You remember the story of the grasshopper and the ant? Because getting into food here, this is a good one. You remember the story of the grasshopper and the ant, Billy Bob?
Yeah, the ant prepared all summer long. And he was always moving, getting things. And he told the grasshopper, winter time's coming. You need to have build up on your storage of food and all like that when winter time comes.
What did the grasshopper say to the ant?
He said, I ain't worried about it. I have plenty of food.
Yeah, life is good.
So he wasn't worried about it, and the ants kept warning him. So what happened during the wintertime? When it got cold and all, the grasshopper didn't have nothing to eat.
He died. The ants went underground and stayed warm, and they were well fed.
That's right.
So which do you going to be, grasshopper or an ant? Or do you think it doesn't apply anymore? Are we all so well cared for by our distribution system and our jobs and whatever else can be we may be getting that we're so sure that they're good and can't fail that things like producing your own food or storing some food for a rainy day, that they don't apply to you?
Yeah, they apply to you. I mean, you don't never know of what the situation will be. Why take a chance of something like that? Common sense tells you, you know, to try to help out other people too if you can. Work together. Get a little acres of land and grow your
garden. Even if you live in the city and don't have any acres of land, there's still things you can do.
Well, they still believe milk comes from Walmart, too.
So a lot of people in the city do, and so we've got some major re-educating to do of some people that have fallen into the trap of believing that their food comes out of machines or from stores and that the cows. You know, remember that commercial on TV, the orange juice commercial? Now, here's a good example. You know where your orange juice comes from, right? Because you've seen it on TV.
Yeah, from the trees.
Well, yeah. The woman, what, she reaches her hand through the wall?
Oh, yeah, and goes to the grocery store.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just magic. There's a guy on the other side of the grocery store wall handing in cans of juice.
It don't work that way.
It doesn't.
Somebody had to grow it.
Right. And everything is okay as long as we're not having to worry about that when it's all coming in regular, clear as clockwork, and all we've got to do is just go to the store and buy it. We've got our job. We've got money coming in. We go buy it. And while we're at it, well, while we're out, we'll probably go grab dinner at McDonald's or whatever because we don't feel like cooking. And, you know, we get into a certain mindset here.
And you actually made me just think of something that happened in the past.
Okay.
And it happened way back in the late 70s, early 80s, too, when the truckers went on strike.
Ooh, yeah, I remember.
And, they, you know, all the stores were shutting down because, what are they? They were running out of food and all because the truckers weren't doing nothing.
Those bad truckers, right? It was all the truckers' fault, of course.
Yeah, it was all the truckers' fault. Blame the truckers. It wasn't the truckers' fault.
We know that.
It was. And a lot of people, they talked about it on the news that the truckers were thinking about going on strike, even the farmers. So people just, they said, oh, man, we'll still have plenty of food. Food will come in. We'll have independent truckers and the trains will bring in food and all like that. But what about all that shut down? Then what are you going to do?
Oh, well, that can't happen anymore, right?
Yeah, right.
And my fairy godmother is going to come and turn my house into a palace, and we're all going to live happily ever after. My handsome prince is going to show up tomorrow. I can't wait.
But if you do, very good. Yes, he ain't coming.
Oh,
he might maybe tomorrow or next day. I don't know. But you
can I have just the prince and forget the palace?
Yeah, you want him? It don't matter.
Anyway, back to food.
Well, you know, it's the same time, but people who knew that it was coming and they heard it coming and all like this, they didn't want to believe it or use their common sense. But at the same time, we have another problem. People, when something like this at the last minute happens, what do people usually want to do? They want to hoard things.
Right. They create their own shortage as a result. You get panic buying.
Right. So if you do it at a slow pace and you build up, you don't have to go hoard all the water at the store if you need it. Let somebody else have it, too. There are other people out there besides you.
Yeah, buy a couple of gallons of water each time you go to the store. You don't have to buy the whole store. Just buy a couple of gallons at a time, and it probably will be quite affordable for you.
That's what happens.
Same with the food. A couple extra cans and this and that. Just buy a little extra each time you buy for your family.
Yeah, when the truckers finally went off of strike and everything, it took a while for the grocery store to finally build up because everybody was hoarding so much of it that they didn't care about nobody else. They just cared about themselves. I'm not saying don't take care of your family and all, but there are other people out there, too. You know, you got to think about yourself as a loving person, too, of sharing, working together. But at the same time, like you and me talk about, do it at a slow pace. Be prepared. Let somebody else have some of that stuff, too, that needs it.
Right. There's two kinds of what you might call food stocking up. One is called hoarding, and that's got a very bad name. It's got a bad name for a reason. A common sense person is not a hoarder. A common sense person is going to stock up. It's a panic-stricken, foolish person that hoards. Because the common sense person is going to go out, like we were talking about, figure out what your family or you, just you or whatever it is, figure out what your household eats for breakfast, eats for lunch, and eats for dinner, say for 5 days. Just kind of keep track of it and then say, okay, I'm going to start buying extra of those things that we eat for this next month so that at the end of the month I've got enough that we could eat those 5 meals for an additional week. You can start it that way. Start with things you already eat, consume as food, and start stocking up on those. You don't have to get fancy about this. Every little bit that you do just quietly ahead of time as part of a plan, make it a habit. It's a whole lot easier and a whole lot less expensive, a whole lot less stressful. And on top of that, it's a lot safer because when something does happen, and it can be for any reason, as we mentioned, it may be a natural disaster, might be a man-caused disaster, who knows what it might be. But when the store shelves start getting empty, people start getting ugly really fast. And that's one time you do not want to be going to the store. You want to be able to stay home quietly with your family or whoever you have in your household, just quietly, peacefully out of sight. You don't want to be mixing up with people who are going crazy because that poses a real safety concern.
Yeah, it sure does. One other thing that people need to do is to stock up on, too, especially elderly people and all like that, or sick people, is their medication.
Right, that's next on the list, medication.
We have to have, you know, you need your medication, so put it in a container that you can put a lid tight on there, so if you get a flood, it won't get wet. You know, put, like, your important papers, that documents, too, in a dry container, so you can, if you have floods or whatever, it won't get wet.
Yeah. At least get a month's extra worth of your meds if you can. Because here again, you just don't know what might happen. And it's better to be prepared than to be sorry. Some medications you do without, you're going to be dead. So if you're in that situation where you need critical medications, please make sure that you have got enough that will see you through at least for 2-3 weeks, a month maybe, just in case for some reason the drug runs out or who knows what might happen. Now, something else in the on the medicine health side, very, very, very important. If you don't have one, go get one. There's no excuse not to have this. That's a first aid kit, a complete first aid kit.
I agree.
That's a pretty simple item to have. Go get it. It's not that hard. Somebody got a birthday coming up in your family, buy it for their birthday. Whatever. Get them one. And if you need just a little bit of knowledge, go get a book out of the library and study basic first aid. That's one of the biggest favors you can do for your family, just to know how to take care of simple things without thinking the world's ended because somebody has slipped their finger or something. There are things we can do, common sense things that you can have on hand to take care of these little medical emergencies when they happen. And, you know, there's always a possibility. Let's hope it doesn't happen, but what if something happens and you're in a place where you can't get to an emergency room right away? That first aid kit would sure come in handy.
It sure will. It could might just save your life.
Right. Something to think about. All right, we're just covering things in general today just to kind of get you thinking. We just talked about water, things you can prepare, make sure you have enough on hand for a rainy day, so to speak. We talked about water, food very generally, talked about first aid, medication. What's up next? What do you think, Billy Bob?
Shelter.
Oh, yes, absolutely. How long are we going to, even if we have air to breathe and water to drink, how long are we going to survive if it's freezing, freezing cold, and we have not got some kind of shelter or some kind of warmth to keep us warm?
We're not going to last that long.
We'll probably die quicker from that, from the exposure, than we will from not having the water.
Yeah, where are you going to put all this stuff if you don't have a shelter to put it, to live under, to keep you out of the elements of the weather?
Yeah. Use some common sense and if you own your own home, use some common sense and make sure that your home is maintained. Don't put off those needed repairs. If your finances are such that that's hard to do, find a way to make it work. Do without something if you have to. But think of that shelter that you're living in. Is it a suitable arc if you needed to kind of float through a little while or without some income, or if there was some kind of situation where you needed to stay home or couldn't go anywhere? Hey, what about if we had an epidemic of something come through and we're all quarantined in our homes? It would sure help to have a decent home to be quarantined in and a home where you've got necessary warmth, cooking, light, something to think about.
Yeah.
What else? There's a really dirty subject coming up that's very, very important in terms of being prepared.
Dirty.
Stinky, dirty.
Dirty.
Disease causing if it's not handled quickly.
Man, I think I must have to. Do I stink?
Well, the fleas just jumped off, so you must have done. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Wait a minute, there's one. Hold it. Ding! There it goes.
Never mind. We're just joking.
We're just joking over here.
There's an old story. Speaking of the fleas, real quick, there's an old story my brother shared this with me. The natives in some country, the old native and missionary thing story where the natives observed the missionaries coming. Now, the natives knew that even though they don't like fleas, that they also noticed that fleas tend to congregate on healthy people. So when the missionaries come, and I guess some of those missionaries got kind of sick and sickly, and the fleas weren't bothering them near as well as much as the natives, and so that made the natives very suspicious about their message, because they figured, you know, if the fleas don't even like them, there must be something wrong. And so, of course, the natural conclusion would be that it's good to have fleas, right?
That's right. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
But,
you know, fleas, those are one of the things that can get out of control if you're not taking care of your environment and keeping it sanitary.
Yeah, and there's one more important thing that it sounds mean, it sounds nasty, or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, you need hygiene.
Yes, hygiene and sanitation.
That is biggest thing. This is why I think we were going with the fleas. We're letting you know that you have to. I know what you were talking about before. I just had to throw that in there. And so I got her started with the
fleas. Fleas can be a scourge here in the South. That's another preparedness talk all on its own. I'm keeping the fleas out of your house and off your pets where we live.
Yes. Be sure you have a sanitized place for you and you can keep up your hygiene. It's very healthy for you if you do. Because if you don't, you're going to have disease. People can get real sick from it and all
really
like that.
Really sick. Just think about it. What if all of a sudden your toilet won't flush for 3 weeks?
Well, you better go out in the woods somewhere.
You better have a plan. And if you're living in the city or you're living in a more urban area where there's a sewer system, there's a really awful, disgusting thing that happens.
It backs up.
It backs up. You not only have the problem of your toilet not working, but if you don't know what to do and the sewer backs up into your home, all of a sudden your home is uninhabitable. You must be willing to take a look at this and decide what you're going to do beforehand to handle that contingency. There are some things you can do, you know, if you just know to do them. For example, you can plug the toilet. You can plug the tub if you have the materials on hand to do it and you know what to do. But if you don't, I mean, how many people have water in their basements every year or the sewers back up? They can back up for any number of reasons.
It can happen.
Yeah. We're not talking the end of the world here, but I tell you what, it may as well be the end of the world if you've got sewage, raw sewage running in your house. You're out of there, and you won't probably not be coming back. So very important item to think about. And so you've got, how are you going to meet your toilet needs? How are you going to meet your basic cleanliness, hygiene needs? Now, you don't have to think about taking fancy showers and everything, but even being able to take a spit bath is mighty handy when things get kind of hot and miserable, or on the other hand, if just because you're trying to clean up after some kind of a problem, it's nice to be able to clean yourself off after you've done the cleaning up. So you've got a variety of things to think about when it comes to sanitation. We will be covering that in a separate show also. We got lots to cover, but just giving you an idea today. So far we have talked about water, food, first aid, medication, shelter, warmth, cooking, light, and sanitation. What else, Billy Bob?
Now I'm stuck.
All right.
I'm stuck. I can't believe
it. Okay, well, this is it. You're stuck, and that's where this item comes in. When you're stuck, you need transportation.
Oh, fuel, gas, yeah, transportation.
You need transportation as in a vehicle, a bicycle, something to get you. If you have to get out of Dodge, make sure you got a way to get out of Dodge. Keeping a vehicle in the best shape you can afford is necessary if you're in a place where you may have to do that. Having a $1,000 stereo system means nothing if the gas tank is empty. So you need to make sure that you've got gas in your tank. If the fan belt needs replacing, take care of it just like your house. If you've got a vehicle, take care of it. Good tires, belts, hoses, windshield wipers, good spare tire jack, tire iron, all that stuff. You've not only got your home as far as making sure just common sense things you're going to do to make sure that you're prepared in your home, but if you've got a vehicle, make sure you've got it prepared. Keep the fluid levels up. You know, all the stuff that it's so easy to procrastinate and not do to keep your car or vehicle in running condition. If you don't have a car, if you've got a bicycle, keep it in good condition. Whatever you're going to use for transportation, keep it up. If you're using your two legs, guess what? Keep them up. Keep walking. Keep yourself in good health, because no matter what transportation you have or all this other, if you are a couch potato and can't walk more than 20 steps without stopping to gasp for breath, you've got a situation you've got to look at here. Something needs to be done. So we're not meaning to get hard on anybody, because we know there are legitimate health situations where that's going to happen. And in those situations, you need to have those prepared for, too. You're elderly, you're infirm, those who need oxygen. How are you going to handle their needs if they have to suddenly get out of Dodge with you?
Yeah, you only need to plan for it, especially the handicapped, like you just said, with oxygen, if they're bedridden, how are you going to have to load them up? Where can you take them to? They'll be safer if you can't take them with you. You have to have some kind of a plan for that. You just can't leave them there.
Right. Well, and we know what happened in New Orleans, didn't we? Remember that nursing home?
Yeah, all them people
died. They
just
got left. They died. They got
died.
Left.
I think it was, 70 of them?
I don't know how many there were, but...
I think it was 70.
What, they weren't prepared. There was nothing they could do.
They
died.
Yeah, they couldn't evacuate them. They didn't know what to do.
Yeah, very sad. It can happen. It can happen anytime, and we certainly wouldn't want it to happen to any of our loved ones. So we need to take that into consideration when we're thinking of transportation and mobility, to think of those who may not be as mobile as we are and look out for their needs too. Now, there's another area here I want to cover really quick. Whoever you have in your household, this is important. You can call it communication. You can call it making sure you've all got a plan, that you know what you're going to do. Sit down with whoever you got in your household. And if it's just you, sit down with yourself and have a talk. There's a few things that anybody in a household should know how to do. One of those is to shut off the gas at the meter, shut off the propane, shut off the power, whatever. When there is a very serious disaster threatening, you need to know how to get those off. Shut off the water especially. Billy Bob, you missed out on Noah's flood here at the homestead.
Well, I'm glad of that too.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that a lot of people...
But yeah, getting the, something like a pipe can break for the stupidest reasons. Know how to shut off the water. Come on, it doesn't have to be the end of the world. When a pipe breaks, let me tell you, you had better know how to get that water off and get it off now. When there is an earthquake or electrical situation or something, know how to deal with it. Know where your breaker boxes are. Know how to get that power off. You got a fire extinguisher. Does everybody in your household know how to use it? Sometimes stupid accidents can happen. Somebody leaves a burner on, grease fire. You know how to put out a grease fire. That's a brief demonstration in itself. So many things. Discuss these things so that everybody in your family knows how to do basic things in case of some kind of emergency or disaster. And don't forget, have some cash available. Have something on hand. Real cash is still one of the most valuable things you can have.
Because if your credit card electricity go down, you can't use your credit card.
That's right. And your credit cards, your ATMs won't work, and the banks are not likely to be open.
That's correct. And they can't give you your money.
Right. Now, there's a whole lot more we could cover. We're just kind of touching on, in general, some of the subjects we're going to cover in more detail over the next few weeks. But what it all comes down to is we're talking about common sense and asking people to think about just common sense, what might come in handy if things stopped working the way we're used to having them work. What are you going to do if the Internet goes down for a whole day? Oh, no! Well,
what did you do before the Internet?
Yeah, even things like that. So this can be something that can turn into actually a fun activity, or you can see it as a chore and it'll probably never get done. But one way or the other, you're going to find out how prepared you are at some point in the near future, very likely. So why not start thinking about it now? Spring's coming. It's a new year. Look around you. See how things are going. Is the economy looking rosy for you? Is everything lollipops and roses, or do you have some concerns? Address them.
Yeah, you know, some people that want to grow a garden or get some cows or whatever, and you just work out a deal with them somehow to help out and get some chickens or...
Get some real food for a
change
instead of the plastic stuff from the store. Let me tell you, there's one of the special treats in the world that you almost can't hardly get anymore is fresh raw, cold milk.
Yeah, I know. Ain't that a shame, right?
Oh, and the ice cream that gets made from that fresh, raw, cold cream. Whoa, it's pretty close to heaven on earth.
Oh, yes. I got to take another walk and eat an ice cream.
Nah, you can't even get it anymore. But, you know, some of those things that our grandparents enjoyed, it wasn't all work. There were rewards for that. And some of the reasons for getting prepared have to do with enjoying the rewards. Something to think about. So we're going to get more into this in the next few weeks. But like anything else, if all this is new to you, common sense is something that develops with practice. And just like it takes practice to learn how to drive a car or even text, you know, everything you learned how to do with practice. You can learn how to practice preparedness so it becomes just sort of a game rather than an emergency. You can use it to deal with problems and hard times in a fun way.
Yeah, I'm just hoping this time we gave a good outline, I believe we did, for our next shows are coming up, that we just made it more fun instead of what everybody said, doom and gloom. So we're trying to just make it a little more cheerful for you and have more, like Sharon said, have more fun with it.
Right. So think of it as preparing for a camping trip. Camping. Oh, well.
Hey, I love that. That's a good idea. Camping.
Suppose you had to camp out in your backyard. What would you need? Make it fun. If you got kids, they'll love that.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of kids don't even know about camping.
Oh,
unless,
I know.
Unless they go to 4-H or Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into this more, but there's all kinds of fun ways to approach this, too. We just hope this kind of gave you an introduction today. And like I say, use your noodle, use your common sense. Let's get the common sense part of the brain working again. And we're going to have fun with this over the next few weeks. Anyway, just remember, any last words as we get ready to go here?
No, I think we covered all the bases today. I hope you all have a blessed day and a good week.
All right. So until next time, remember, it's never too late, but you better get started to prepare for freedom. See y'all next week. Goodbye, Billy Bob.
Bye, Sharon.